God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Christ is risen. That's the gospel. Christ is risen is the gospel. The book of Acts records to us the preaching of the first apostles as they went out into the ancient world. And they changed the lives of individuals. And ultimately, they changed the character of ancient society. Many of the things that we take for granted now, the freedom and the dignity of the human person, compassion for the weak and the suffering, justice, mercy, charity, these things can be traced directly to the preaching of the first apostles, as these men who were at one moment cowering and frightened become so bold to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What was this thing that they talked about that changed lives and changed the face of the ancient world and that resounds down to us this day? It was testimony and preaching to the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They had two things that they were sharing. One was their eyewitness testimony. And the other one was to trust in this eyewitness testimony and to enter into the life of the church and to gather around the scriptures and the breaking of the bread and by the power of the Holy Spirit to know the reality and the life of the crucified and risen one in the midst of his church pouring forth the Holy Spirit upon his people. So, the trustworthiness of the first witnesses. Here's an experiment. Go home, and you could probably find it on the internet. The myth of the Egyptian god Osiris, a dying and a rising god. Read that story. Read any of the Greek and Latin myths. Read any of the Norse myths. And then read, again, the gospel that we have today. On the one hand, you will see very clearly that you're dealing with epic mythology. On the other hand, you will see that you're dealing with warm and intimate personal recollection. There are scholars who have made a study out of the character of eyewitness testimony. There's a great book about this. I recommend it to you. It's written by an English scholar named Richard Balcom. It's called Jesus and the Eyewitnesses. He's a great scholar of ancient literature. And he tries to figure out what kind of genre the Gospels are. And it's very clear when you compare all the characteristics. They are history, and they're the kind of history that was written in the ancient world. They're history which is based on the testimony of eyewitnesses. Now, eyewitness testimony has some characteristics. And we encounter those characteristics in the Gospel today. First of all, let's say this about the written records that we have. In comparison to other records in the ancient world, our records are very near unto the day of the events being described. Do you believe that Hannibal crossed the Alps with elephants? Unbelievable, isn't it? Yet nobody doubts that that occurred. But the record of that is further away from the event and the records that we have. If in the ancient world you're going to devise a myth or a legend, here's what you don't do. You don't make the original witnesses women. The testimony of women was inadmissible in a court of law. And even the disciples themselves, when they first hear the reports, thought, dismissed it, St. Luke tells us, as the hysteria of women. All of the Gospels agree that the first people to get to the tomb and to discover the tomb empty were the women. And when they are named, Mary Magdalene is named as first. In the Eastern Church, she is called the Apostle to the Apostles because her testimony comes first. She was forgiven much. She loved much. She was first. Now look also at this thing. The original witnesses are not witnesses that are prejudiced to believe. She is not going to the tomb because she expects to find it empty. She's going to the tomb for the same reason that people still go to tombs: to weep, to mourn, to grieve. And even when the reality of the resurrection begins to dawn upon her, she is slow to come out of her grief. She goes to the tomb. She discovers that it's empty. She thinks the body has been stolen, a common event in the ancient world. Grave robbers were so prevalent that the Roman emperor had to create an edict against it. And then the two disciples, Peter and John, race to the tomb to see what's happened. Now, commentators over the years have tried to come up for reasons why John gets there first, but Peter goes in first. Why women? Because it happened that way. Why did Peter go in first? Because it happened that way. And then you get these little details that are very characteristic of eyewitness testimony. You remember how it was. Everything so neat and orderly. Not like grave robbers at all. And the Greek tells us that the grave clothes still had their creases in it. And then do you remember that? The napkin that covered the face was all rolled up and set apart by itself. Peter doesn't know what to make of it. Scripture tells us John begins to believe something's happened. He doesn't quite understand what. It's going to take him some time to understand. He won't understand it fully for a while yet, but the Lord appears to them that evening. Well, you know, that's not a bad place to be. To be in the place where you begin to become convinced that something's happened. You're not quite sure what it means. It'll take some time to figure it out. Standing there with John, not a bad place to be. They go home, wondering. John beginning to believe. Mary's still there. She's weeping. She's lost in grief. And she sees two angels. And what's her reaction? She weeps. She sees two angels where he'd been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. She might have thought of the two angels, one at the head and one at the feet, of the mercy seat, of the place in the temple, which is where the presence of God is thought to dwell. She might have thought of that. Why are you weeping, I say? And then she becomes aware of a presence. And she turns. And what would it take for us to become aware of the presence and turn? And she hears this man, "Why are you weeping?" And she thinks it's the gardener. Now I wonder if Eve, in the Garden of Eden, thought that Adam was the gardener. The new Adam is standing there in front of her. She doesn't understand. She doesn't recognize. There's a gentleness in the appearance of the risen Lord, an accommodation to our frailty. Doesn't overwhelm, doesn't sweep away. But then comes the moment of recognition. He says her name. Here. She recognizes the voice. I am the good shepherd. I know each of my sheep by name. I call to them, and they know my voice, and they hear me, and they follow. Rabboni, she says. And she's seen the Lord, and we have her testimony. One New Testament scholar says, having searched all of the literature of the ancient world, there's no scene like this anywhere else. Is this not the testimony of an eyewitness? And she runs and tells the others what she has heard and seen. Now he says to her, don't hold on to me. It's not because he's not substantial, because else in other appearances, he shows them his hands and his feet and invites even Thomas, right, to touch him. St. John says we handle him. It's not that. She's not to cling to him because he has to ascend. He's already said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. So he must ascend to do that. He must also ascend to the Father so that he can send the Spirit, so that he can pour out the Spirit upon us, so that when we gather, around the Scriptures, as he stands in our midst and opens them to us in such a way that our hearts begin to burn within us, and sends the Spirit so that when the bread is broken, we recognize him. We can say to the original witnesses, we believe what you said, and we know for ourselves, because he has been made known to us in the preaching of the Scriptures, and in the breaking of the bread. And in and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to receive more and more. As we come to trust more and more, we're able to receive more and more. As we immerse ourselves in the life of the church more and more, we're able to receive more and more this new life that he brings forth from the grave, that he's bought for us at great price, that he breathes into us. This new life with God and with each other that begins now and which the grave cannot hold. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.